It's Cofield and Company with Adam Hill.
You can trouble me for a warm glass of shut the hell up. Now you will go to sleep, or I will put you to sleep.
And Ryan McKinnell.
Oh, I don't think I'm a lot dumber than you thought that I think that I thought I was once.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you, and I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else but you.
Back here, Cofield and Company on this Friday, a company takeover edition. Adam Hill, Ryan McKinnell here with you. Steve, on the trip with UNLV, you can listen to Rebels at San Jose State tomorrow as he does the sideline updates. Just does a tremendous job of that. It's fantastic. It's the highlight of each and every broadcast. Hopefully that didn't sound too sarcastic. But Steve Cofield back Monday, of course. We are getting you ready for the weekend, and what better way to do that than to be joined by our good friend Mike Golic Jr. See him all over ESPN and on Twitter. And Mike, I'm sure you can appreciate this as a guy who's in the business. The prep for you is always so easy because we can just look at your Twitter. It's phenomenal.
It's the first place I go for every interview that we do. It's the most millennial tactic that I've adopted and brought over and kind of tried to show my dad and Trey and all this. You can get so many softballs from some of the guys coming on. And you're right. I lay it all out there, man. I'm just sitting there constantly on my phone, usually in an airport. So let's have at it, man.
No, I'm totally the same way. So I applaud it. But here's the thing. We wanted to talk about Kenny G later on, but you did so well with it that we'll just let you do it for us. What on earth was going on? Kim Kardashian posted the picture yesterday. Kanye got her Kenny G in their living room for Valentine's Day. But I have no idea what was going on with the setup. The logistics are what is really killing me.
It was nightmarish logistics setup, which led me to really overestimate the abilities, the footwork, I should say, of one Kenny G. So if we can paint a picture for the radio audience here, for anyone that hasn't seen it, it is quite literally of Kenny G alone in a room playing the saxophone, but the plot thickens. He is surrounded by a veritable meadow of roses, all each in their own individual glass vase full of water. So it is an obstacle course of Valentine's Day love and affection, which led me to ask, how the hell did they get Kenny G in that room? They drop him in, and then they put all the roses around him? I did not get those answers until a full day later when I looked, and leave it to Kim, God bless her soul, to actually go and show us the path that Kenny G had laid out before him. So I wasn't sure if he was some sort of footwork phenom, a guy that we needed to trot out a running back, but cooler heads prevailed. They did provide Kenny G a path out of the room, but man, listen, I was smitten right there. I know Kanye West hasn't had the best, you know, couple of years PR-wise, but at the very least, I feel like he won Valentine's Day with the assist from Kenny G.
Mike, you crushed my curiosity. I so wanted to believe that, like, Kenny G placed all those, and he was just slowly backing up as he placed each one, like, building the cocoon of flowers around him. Now I'm just bummed. Ruined my weekend.
You know what? I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but I also think it could have been better, right? Because, A, I do like the idea of, like, a trapped, potentially levitating Kenny G. But also, he was playing his songs. He was playing, like, normal things that you would expect on, like, a soprano saxophone. I want to hear him do covers of, like, Kanye stuff. Him doing Blood on the Leaves on a soprano saxophone is my idea of romance on Valentine's Day. We didn't get it, but now I feel like there's room for improvement for the next guy that wants to hire Kenny G out to help wish a happy Valentine's Day to his multimillionaire girlfriend.
Yo, all of the
wife. Hold on, wife, by the way.
Right.
But wife, no, wife, sorry.
Right. No, I'm trying to
respect to the Kardashian West.
Yes, I'm trying to imagine now all of the lights being played on like a clarinet, like dun 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 dun. It was perfect.
Now let's go even a step further. It's a room full of Kenny G and his supporting act, and they're all playing it on recorders, and we all die.
Man, listen, there's more from your Twitter we have to get to. This is not going to die. We have to keep going with this. I feel like you thought it was a good gift. I'm saying it's a weird gift, and I think even bad, because isn't it the case that Kenny G does like two songs, and then you're like, dude, get out of here.
Like, well, you know what I just imagine is like Kanye being the absolute maniac that he is staring over there in the corner, and he has Kenny G playing the same song on a loop, and every time Kenny G looks up for some sort of approval, like, let me play more, I've got more, Kanye just slowly shakes his head and says, no, you keep playing the same loop that I paid you to play for the next 24 hours. And I'm with you before the pass. I wanted to imagine Kenny G was still stuck in that room. What did they do with the furniture? Is that a room in their house? Is it a room Kanye rented? There are so many questions we don't have answers
well,
to.
Also, what is Kenny G doing the other 364 days of the year? I haven't seen him in forever.
Does he do private gigs like this? Like, this is what I know. The going rate for Kenny G to play your private Valentine's Day party like this, I got to imagine it's still good coin because the name Kenny G means something, even to, like you said, an audience like us that doesn't see much of him. Because I got to be honest, this has the wheels turning for me right now. I got a lot of young birthday parties to get ready to go to. All my friends are having kids. And so I feel like Kenny G is the perfect person to just throw randomly into a two-year-old's birthday party.
All right, wait a minute. That's great, but you just brought something definitely to my attention here, and that is the voice of Mike Golic Jr., of course. You can find him all over ESPN. Up on Twitter is certainly the best place, I think, to catch him, MGolicJR57. How about, okay, I'm just going to assume, I don't remember you tweeting anything about it. I'm going to assume that you saw the Fire documentary, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay. I mean, I didn't even have to look that up. I knew. So isn't that the whole premise of that app? To, like, book, like, a Kenny G for your birthday?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the thing that got lost in it, is there was a great bit of tech potentially behind it where you could just go on and book these musical acts. And so I feel like that might be the real shame of it all. A, that we drove Andy to the brink of almost doing the unspeakable in the name of water, but B, that we lost this great bit of technology that would have allowed all of us to be Kanye West on Valentine's Day.
Okay, poor Andy.
Do we feel bad for Andy? I feel like Andy is soaking this up.
Listen, Ed, what else are you going to do if you're Andy? Like, you have now become the poster. There is no longer ride or die. There is just, are you Andy or are you not for my cause? And if you're not, I got to get you out of my circle.
Are you Andy about this life or are you not?
It's invaded everything. Like, I saw the Valentine's Day cards they do where people are like, I am fully prepared to be your Valentine.
Oh, my
Guys, I kid you not. I was just on a Delta flight, and they redid their whole video that explains, you know, the emergency procedures, everything. And it showed the guy getting ready to inflate his life vest. And I snapped a picture of it, and I have it with the caption on my phone that says, I am fully prepared to inflate this life vest, and I'm not yet ready to release it to the internet because I'm not sure if the streets are ready for
I think the streets are ready. I think you have to do it. But for the app, okay, is the app good? I think you were proposing it as a good idea to match up musical guests with people that want to book them. To me, who are we, like, the average guy out there? Who are we going to be able to afford on this app? This is
Ja Rule. Ja Rule. First of all, everyone should have been keenly aware that this is a work when Ja Rule was like, hey, this is the Ja Rule app. Come and book me. First, you got to give some random guy $250 to be introduced to me, but then the app will take care of it.
I don't know, man.
Wait, but by the way, did you guys see that Ja Rule is trying to get down and say he wants to put on the biggest musical festival act the world?
Oh my God.
Of course I saw it. I want to go.
Yeah, people in hell want ice water.
The original idea.
This is fantastic. We're just going to ask what you've watched, because if you watch Fire, did you watch Abducted in Plain Sight?
Oh, boy.
I just watched it on the plane ride down here.
Dude.
My God, you want to talk about the Andy moment on steroids. That bad, I was blown away.
It is our obsession on this. I think we've mentioned it every day for the last 3 weeks.
The guy banged the whole family.
He needed relief. He needed relief, Ryan. He did.
I was horrified throughout it. At the same time, when it came to the parents, because obviously, like, the child aspect of it is deplorable.
Right, right.
But the parents, I have a lot of questions to ask about these parents. Like, unfortunately, they become the story of all this. It's not the monster that was. It's the parents that were somehow in all of this just sitting around waiting to cheat.
They just didn't want to admit that they all made mistakes,
I know,
right?
But
it was just like
you...
a big thing, a web of blackmail.
Mike, do you hate? Because here's the thing. I was conflicted. I hate them because they allowed this to happen and they're so naive. But at the same time, they did seem like lovely people.
You know what? It was one of those things, though, where it's a reminder, like, you cannot trust the facades. Like, maybe this is a warning to us. In the Instagram age, this is happening all the time. Like, people are putting out these, they seem like such a nice family vibes on Instagram. And in reality, they're just banging out some maniac behind closed doors.
See, that's why I'm a psychopath at all times. I feel like people know what they're getting, but also there's a genuineness to it, Mike. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I would rather paint an authentic picture than rather have my luck. Imagine being the rest of their family and finding out the way the rest of their children did going on, or the way their extended family did in this documentary. The things that your parents did and then tried to cover up that ultimately affected your whole family. I would just rather, like, listen, my family is a pretty insane group of individuals, but we're the insane. That's one of the beauties of growing up with your dad being in sports talk radio. Everything that we did was fodder for on-air content, and everything we did was transparent. So you just got used to living your life out in the open, and so all of our crazy is there for everyone to see. You're not going to find anything crazier than what we've given you from 6 to 10 a.m. for the last, like, two decades.
All right. Is it – I need you a moral judgment on this. Is it completely wrong and horrific that while I hate B, I kind of respect his planning? Like, he had a great plan.
I mean, it was a long burn. Like, it was over a period of years.
You know what? I don't know if I, like, I don't know if I can give this guy credit for having a plan in all this one. One, because he's a monster, and because I want to kick his teeth in, even though he's, you know, he's dead.
Of course.
You know, nature already took care of that. But number two, just because this seemed like a guy that was just going with whatever was around in the worst ways possible. So, no, and especially not in front of a hot mic am I going to give this guy any credit.
Okay, well, I'll be the bad guy and say, listen, I don't know. I just, there was something to the planning process. It was the whole, I cannot believe what I saw. I watched it again, and I recommend you do too.
It was all-star levels of manipulation.
It was.
I'll give you that.
All world manipulation. Yeah. He was first team all manipulator. It was to the point where, like, I had been told by so many people, because, again, I just saw it today, so like you guys mentioned, I'm like a week and a half late on this,
yeah.
And everyone I had seen live tweet this, everyone that had given it a review to me, told me how bizarre it was, and it still didn't stack up to how bizarre it actually was when all of a sudden her dad was like, well, I just, you know, reached across and it happened.
You know, Adam, I didn't see it until probably like 5 days ago, and Adam's like, oh, yeah, and just when you think it's crazy, then the aliens, and then this starts coming. And I was like, all right, dude, I'm sold. I went home, Mike, and watched it that night.
Ugh, it's insane.
Like, of course there were aliens.
Yeah,
of course there were aliens.
Of course. Of course there was. Very important issues to get into to close here. I don't know anything about The Bachelor until we have you on. Do I have to know about this season or no?
You know what? I will say this season has exceeded expectations. Colton, The Bachelor in the center of all the madness, the obviously short-lived football player. Like, calling Colton's NFL career a career is a lot like calling my NFL career a career, which means you have to put in air quotes and have the asterisk on your Wikipedia page that said you were off-season or training camp only. That being said, even though I don't find him overly believable, I think he's a little fame-hungry, it has been really entertaining, and all I can tell you guys is this. It is basically going to come down to two girls, Cassie and Hannah G. They are the Alabama and Clemson of this Bachelor season. They are absolute juggernauts. Poor Kaylin is waiting to become the Notre Dame in the wings right now. She's having a great season, but I think when she gets to the big stage, the hometown, it's not going to go her way. Ultimately, it comes down to this. We are all waiting for Colton to jump this fence. They have been teasing him, jumping over this fence, for about 5 weeks now, and Bachelor Twitter is so thirsty for this moment that you guys, the next time I talk to you, I'm sure, will be reacting to my Twitter of me in unison with the rest of Bachelor Twitter celebrating the fence jump heard around the world.
I can't wait for that. Wait, was there a girl that said she had never been kissed before?
Oh yeah. That was literally all like we in Bachelor Twitter called her was NBK. It was never been kissed, which I didn't believe. Like no one that grows up that attractive and the age of 23 has never been kissed at all. But it makes for a great story. It's better than the bio I saw of content creator, which is a fancy way of saying I have an Instagram page and no job.
Influencer.
Yeah. They didn't even give her that, which tells me she's not even all that influential. She is just attractive and has an Instagram profile that they were able to locate while she lived at her parents' house.
Mike, you are phenomenal. That was a great sports talk conversation. lots of sports we got into, but that's why we love having you on. Awesome stuff. Enjoy your weekend, man.
Guys, always a pleasure. Appreciate it.
There you go. Mike Golic Jr. Follow him on Twitter at mgolicjr57 for all of the sports takes that you ever need and so many other things. We will take a break, step away. More VGK talk after this.
Finley Toyota. They'll do anything to sell you a car. No Toyota problem is too tough, too large, or too small. Keep your Toyota running like a Toyota. Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Finley Toyota Studios.
3 seconds to go, and the crowd you hear from the fans decked out in blue. All over in T-Mobile Arena. Final score, Toronto Maple Leafs 6, Vegas Golden Knights 3.
Another loss for the Golden Knights. Another loss at home, another loss overall. 5 straight home losses for the first time in franchise history. They've dropped 7 of the last 9. It is not a good stretch. Ryan's still wearing his VGK hat today anyway.
I always wear my VGK hat.
Adam Hill, Ryan McKinnell here with you on this Friday. We talked a little Golden Knights earlier. We'll reset that conversation and get into what is wrong with the Vegas Golden Knights right now. I saw a lot of reaction last night on social media to several things, including the team struggling, the goalie struggling, some of the lines you're not happy with, the defensemen struggling, all the penalties, and the fans. I saw everybody taking it last night from the Golden Knights. So if you want to discuss what's wrong with the Golden Knights, what your thoughts are on what's wrong with the Golden Knights, 364-1100 is the number. Get in on the conversation. What is wrong with the Golden Knights, and what would you like to see change with the Golden Knights? Not a whole lot you can do, but it's the trade deadline coming up, so you can make some moves. You can bring guys up. What do you want to see the Golden Knights do? 364-1100. The rematch of Bitegate on the horizon tomorrow with Nashville coming to town. But more importantly than that, certainly in the grand scheme of things, is the fact that Nashville's a really good team. And it's not going to be an easy team to break out of the slump against, for sure, when you've got a team like the Predators coming to town.
Yeah. I mean, that's not we knew this, heading into these two games after at that point was four home losses in a row, right? So now you're at your fifth home loss in a row, and you're staring down the Nashville Predators, who, as you mentioned, Adam, a lot of people have pegged for potentially sitting there in the Western Conference Final or the Stanley Cup. They're a formidable opponent that are deep four lines through. They have a great blue line. They have a good goaltender. They are a solid team. And, yeah, I mean, when you're facing down 5 losses in a row at home, I'm not a math wizard, but if you lose to Nashville, that's going to be 6. And I'll concede that it's not time to panic right now. You're still the third seed in the Pacific. You're comfortable in a playoff hunt in that regard. But you lose 6 home games in a row. We can start talking about getting worried. You can start talking about, what type of collapse are we in the midst of?
I think that's interesting, because I'd asked the other day. I asked several players, and I asked Dave Shane, my colleague, asked him today, do you think it's an issue right now for the Golden Knights that at this point of the season, you're either fighting for a spot, fighting for, a seed, or fighting to get in, or holding somebody off? Like, everybody that's in the playoff picture is in that position at this time of year.
Which is pretty much everybody at this point in the Western Conference. Yeah. Even the Blackhawks have a chance to make the playoffs, which is insane.
So while everybody is fighting and scrapping and clawing, the one team that's not is really the Golden Knights. Because if you look at the standings right now, and I'm calling up the exact where they exactly stand, San Jose and Calgary are tied at 75 points in the Pacific Division. Golden Knights are at 66. The top 3 teams in the division make the playoffs. So as long as you finish in the top 3, it doesn't matter what all the wild cards do.
Yep.
And right now, Vancouver is 7 points behind the Knights. Now, they're not exactly hot on their tail. They've been 9 points out for a while. Now they're 7. And so you start to say, well, if you lose 2 or 3 more in a row and Vancouver wins a couple, they'll be hot on your heels. But I think the point of this is, of even asking the question is, are you complacent in that it seems like you're locked into the third seed in the Pacific Division? It's going to be real tough to catch one of those teams ahead of you, and it's going to be real tough for that team behind you to catch you. So is there almost just you're too comfortable where you are, and everybody kind of denied and said, no, we're just working on ourselves, we're working on our game, we have to try to get to a better spot. And as Max Pacioretty said, that might be a fair question of, are we comfortable and kind of settled into a third seed? But we would never think that no matter what, because you still have to play in the playoffs when you get there. Like, you can't just say, oh, who cares? We're in the third seed and we'll just decide to play then. Like, you have to get your game right, even if nobody is hot on your heels. It is a concern. You've got to get your game to a better place.
And you've got to think that the possibility of it not coming around is very real, because We've seen this team be cold to start the season. We saw it heat up, and now we're seeing a cooling off again, and which would lend itself to some inconsistency. And listen, the two most important things that you should be concerned about, and I know we're going to talk to some of our callers now that have some thoughts on that, is the issue of Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, you did a great article, Adam, where you broke down the third-period failures, the recent third-period failures of this team. It is astounding the number of goals that they've let in as opposed to what they've scored, and it is Marc-Andre Fleury, and you see it happen. You see it progress. You see him lose steam. You see him make a few more mistakes. The guy obviously needs rest. This isn't, it's clear at this point. And the next, which is as clear as Fleury needing rest, the other part of this equation is just as clear. The Knights have to stop giving up stupid penalties, especially to solid, not even solid, stacked power plays like Toronto. You cannot give that team power plays.
You can't give up six penalties, you are, six power plays.
You will
Toronto.
Lose.
364-1100. What's wrong with the Golden Knights, and how worried are you about them? Russell is up first. Russell, what's going on, man?
Well, hey, I love the show. You guys are doing a great job.
Thanks, man.
I first and foremost, they have to play better defense. Basically, what I mean by saying that is they have to close the distance between them and the attacking player. What I see so far is, I see them about 20 feet away. Englund's going down on his knees. And that's interfering with the goalie's vision. And that was the second goal, third goal last night.
Yeah.
So we got problems there. You got to fix that. It's an easy fix. And the number one thing that I've seen from the tail of last year to this year is they stop skating the puck from the neutral zone. They stop skating it. They have to skate the puck from the neutral zone. They have to own the neutral zone. Because if they pass this and get too cute, passes get picked off the blue line, and they go back the other way. Thirdly, the Marc-Andre Fleury, yes, he's over the age of 30. We know. He's got some great skills. He's got, but still, he needs some help. He's trying to do too much for every single game because he's proud. He's a proud guy. He's doing too much. And right now, his defense is hanging him out to dry. Just like the power play goal, he had Schmidt standing right in front of the net. His guy that he was supposed to cover, aka his dance partner, was right behind him, and he wound up getting the goal. So all this is very fixable, but my question is there a coaching staff that understands all this stuff? I understand they watch video all the time, but they need to address these kids. They're kids. They're 25, 26 years old, except Fleury. But they need to understand that they need to educate these kids on how to play hockey, be in the right position, because I cannot tell you how many times I've been to the home games and there's so many players out of position. Out of position. It's correctable.
There you go. Thank you, Russell. Great call. 364-1100 if you have thoughts on what's wrong with the Golden Knights and what would you like to see them do about it.
I think Russell hit on a couple good things, but one of the main takeaways, and it's a point he brought up about carrying the puck into the zone, I think that's very apt, and I think it's definitely something that the Knights should work on, but it's also something that I think the Knights are working on. I actually think that was something they actually improved on last night. I actually liked the way they were getting the puck into the zone.
And I can assure you, first of all, I think the out of position, they have their systems, and they are where they are.
Plays were developing quickly last night.
They're usually in the right place. I think the point about the carrying the puck in the zone and more specifically, I will tell you that emotional game the other night, the outburst and the anger and the team meeting and the frustration and everything else, what I believe just from being around and nothing on the record or anything like that, but just conversation, is the biggest problem that Gallant had was the cuteness, the drop passes, the looking for something, because they actually had a drop pass Tuesday that triggered a break that led to a very key goal in that game. So I know it's something that they do. I know it's something that has certainly developed in the NHL. The drop pass has become very popular and it's effective at times, but it can lead to bad things the other way if it's not executed properly, and too often it does turn into a turnover. And I don't think he was very happy with how many times that was going wrong, and I'm not surprised that they didn't do it a whole lot yesterday.
Yeah, and when you talk about that, you talk about not being nifty and just playing fundamental hockey. I think that was a hallmark and a cornerstone of what made year one so successful? Because I remember them talking about this early on in that first season, about how there were no cliques, right? About how they all went out to dinner together and no lines were hanging out with each other. Like, everyone hung out together. Everyone was a team together. That was because it was fresh and no one wanted to step on any toes. I think the same can be said for the product on the ice, right? Without defined roles, everybody kind of plays within each other. They all kind of play together and they rely on fundamentals. And sometimes that can be your identity. And I don't know this team well enough. I'm not in the locker room like you are, but I do think there is an element of that deteriorating. Maybe it's someone trying to do too much. Maybe it's someone trying to do something a little uncharacteristic, and it's affecting the team in ways that maybe we can't totally see right now. But I don't think it's anything to be entirely worried about. I think, if anything, it could be a concern going forward in terms of chemistry into the years ahead. It's like, what is the identity of this team going to be, right? Not just now, but in the future.
Maybe something to that click and, you know, who where do people fit, that sort of thing. We'll address a little bit of that with maybe some shakeup in the lines when we'll step away real quick, come back and continue this conversation. 364-1100 if you want to get in on what is wrong with the Golden.
Live from the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company.
Well, from my vantage point, it looked like he put his gloves right into the face of Belmar, and then he just dropped his gloves, and he's been showing his hands like that for the last 30 seconds. See him give him the shot right in the back of the head? And now he's reaching up, and now it's his right hand, right? He's talking about, so watch. He grabs him right there. He's kind of giving him a face wash, and then right there.
Bitegate, coming back. I can't wait. I was asking everybody, trying to drum up some interest and some emotion about Bitegate.
I feel like Belmar used Adam Hill-esque rhetoric when breaking down the whole bite. Like, his fingers found themselves in my mouth, and then when he tried to pull back, he grazed the tip of my tooth. I feel like that's something you would say if you bit someone.
What? Well, I asked Belmar again today if he bit. He said no. We'll get into more of this. We teased some of the quotes that came out of the locker room. I did ask Malcolm Subban who he'd be cheering for in a fight if it was Reeves against PK.
That's so good.
Got an answer from... Actually...
See, I just hold on. I know you're going somewhere.
Is there somebody in the back? I can just take the audio and give it to somebody. We can listen to it.
Yeah, I would love that. But I just want to pause this real quickly, and I want to say this about you. People give you a lot of flack, right? And I get it.
Like, oh yeah.
I hate Adam Hill as much as the next guy. We've went down this. We yell at each other all the time, right? I get it. But you do have to give credit where credit is due. Do you think anybody else would be asking these questions? Do you think anybody else would go up to Malcolm Subban and be like, hey, Malcolm, if Ryan Reeves and PK Subban fight, your brother, who are you going to cheer for? No one's going to ask that. No one's going to do that. You do, because you don't care. No. And you also like a good story. And damn it, that's a good story.
Of course.
And so I appreciate you, Adam Hill, at least, you know, 10% of the time.
Thank you for the credit. You're probably the only one, but I appreciate that. And I also am not so caught up in it's all about hockey, to not acknowledge that there's other things out there. Now, Deadspin yesterday tried to make something of Braden McNabb, which I really want to talk to Braden McNabb about, but I think they're wrong.
The hit?
Well, Braden McNabb got called for a penalty, which I didn't really think was a penalty.
I agree.
But, you know, there was an injury on the play, and McNabb's in the penalty box, and he smirks. And they tried to make this big thing like, oh, he hurt a guy, and then he smirked. I have no idea what he was smirking about.
Maybe he just like ripped one, and he was really impressed.
Right. As I talked to somebody on the team today, they were like, "How do they know that he wasn't just like somebody like skated by and said something funny?
Yeah.
Like one of his teammates, like you said something.
Maybe he thought of
no
a
idea.
Maybe he thought of a funny joke he just remembered.
You have no idea what he was smirking about. So why are you making this a thing? So you know what you can do? Ask. Like, everyone in the world was like, oh, the bite, like, what happened? What's going on? How about you ask?
No one wants to upset anybody, Adam Hill.
But also, I think there is an element of, I'm here to cover hockey, and I want to talk about hockey.
Fans care
about these things.
I also think there's an element of you doing this for 15 years plus and getting beaten down and being put in every position to where you're not scared.
Like, oh, you mean covering by covering yes. Dana?
Dana, 100%. I mean, I've been, you know, I've covered MMA for 12 years. I've had my moments with Dana White. Once you've shown down with Dana White, one of his scrums that is videoed and sent out to the world, or you faced YouTube criticisms, you've done television, I've done television. You put our mugs on TV, that tends to draw some criticism, and you just brush it off. You just move on with your life. But I think it does. It speaks volumes to, listen, we just had Mike Golic Jr. on the show, and we talked to him about Netflix series. But my point is everything other than sports. Sometimes that's okay. Sometimes that builds personality. And if you are in this Vegas Golden Knights cocoon that we are in here in Las Vegas, you have plenty of places that you can go to get hockey stories. And that's not saying that Adam Hill doesn't deliver hockey stories. He absolutely does. You had a great story on the fourth quarter collapses and five things at the Golden.
Fourth quarter?
I'm third period.
Hockey guy.
Yeah, well... It was five things the Vegas Golden Knights need to do to improve, and then it was the third period. I settled in the middle with four. Leave me alone. But those stories do matter. Maybe people roll their eyes and they're like, oh, come on. It's like, trust me, you would miss these type of stories so much if they weren't being asked and if you didn't have a fearless journalist in there who doesn't care if people like him or not. Like, it's I do feel like that way a lot with media, and it's not just in hockey. It's in all media. You know, people are at their core. And
in our MMA world, people take themselves way too seriously.
I definitely wasn't going to use MMA as the measuring stick.
They take themselves way too seriously. And you don't want to ask about the things people might actually care about. But either way, that was not the point of this. I was not trying to say wanted to tell you there are some interesting
and
quotes.
And I'm excited to hear
we'll get into from the team as we continue. But first, it's one of our favorite times of the week. RJ Bell up next.
Cofield and Company returns in minutes on ESPN Las Vegas. Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Finley Toyota Studios.
Good stuff. I have a feeling RJ Bell is a big Elvis fan. Cofield and Company on this Friday. Steve Cofield in San Jose with the Rebels. RJ Bell joins us at this time each and every week. RJ Bell from pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. What is up, sir?
I mean, you guys, Cofield's in one place, you're in the other. I'm in the car.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
Oh, you know, I actually have a five. I'm always at the ISDN. I'm always ready. I had a 5 o'clock I couldn't avoid, but I'm not going to miss one of my favorite segments. No way.
Well, we're on the list somewhere. That's fine.
Exactly.
First of all, I wanted to ask you something from your Twitter from last week. But first of all, what is this time of year like for you? Football's over. March Madness is ramping up. Is this a slow time for you?
Well, I tell you, the time from the Super Bowl until the conference tournaments start, you get to catch a little bit of a breath. Now, for me, unfortunately or fortunately, I've got kind of a 1A and 1B. Like, 1A is, during football especially, the media side, the radio show, the podcast, the handicapping, and then running the company is 1B. Now, the other 6 months, it flips, right? So you're more time on the company. So it's kind of sick. I'll think, oh, no games on Friday, let's say, or not many games. Boy, I get a chance to really dig into the taxes or really dig into the next hire. So let's just say there's a lot of work, but I'm a workaholic, so it works out just fine.
There you go. As we said, RJ Bell, pregame.com. Check out the site. Lots of great stuff up there. And follow him on Twitter at RJ Vegas, because you get stuff like last week I saw you posted something. I don't know if you came up with it or you got it from somewhere, but either way, you had a prop team. It's kind of confusing, but I'll try to read it slow for everybody out there. Team to win most NBA titles during the next 5 seasons, counting this year. How many would you pick before taking the LA Lakers? I think this is fascinating. First of all, that the fact that it was three or less is shocking to me that won the poll. I think people are crazy to think the Lakers are going to build this dynasty all of a sudden.
And to me, that was the point of the poll, right? So it was three or less. There's four choices, three or less, exactly four, exactly five, or more than five teams that you would take. So let's think of the list, right? Golden State would have to be on the list. Obviously, Boston would be on the list, you think.
Sixers.
Now you're starting to think the Sixers maybe. you're starting to think Milwaukee maybe. So, like, what's your list?
I mean, all those are on there for sure. I think
Luka.
Yeah, the Mavs. Like, I don't know where I would put the Lakers on this. I think I'd put a bunch of teams on there because Anthony Davis included the Bucks on his list. If Anthony Davis went to the Bucks with Giannis and the rest of the players that they have, I don't think that it's a slam dunk Anthony Davis goes there. And if he doesn't, I don't know what they're going to do. They've got LeBron and a bunch of pieces.
And I think what was shown by the poll, and it was what I intended to show, was the concept that there's a real belief that in the NBA, you don't build one piece at a time. I mean, think about those Lakers that were supposedly all offered up. I mean, and then think about the ones traded last year. This is like the second, Ingram, the second, the third, the fourth pick in the draft, Lonzo Ball. I mean, these are guys, obviously highly regarded at the time of being drafted, and then a couple years in, they're almost disposable. They're almost replacement level. And what wins is if you have either, like, so far and away the best player like LeBron was in his prime, or you've got four or five, or let's say three or four top 15 or 20 players like Golden State. I mean, and this is the exercise, Adam, I always ask people to do, which is go back to 1980, look at the NBA champion every year since, and ask yourself, is the best player on that championship team, was he one of the three best players in the NBA? And I'd make the case about 30 of the 38 years, unequivocally, that was the case, that a top three player was on the championship team. So that means by definition, only three teams have a chance to win it every year, unless it's a big exception. So all of this, hey, let's build with this, and Lonzo's a good glue guy, and it doesn't seem to matter. The question is, can LeBron, for the next couple years, stay a top five player? That's question one. Question two is, can they get one other top five player? If so, the Lakers are going to have a better chance than almost anyone to win a title. So in a weird way, it seems square to say Lakers, like we said, being one of those teams with the best chance. But if they do get Anthony Davis, let's say, this fall, no matter who they give up, aren't they one of the two or three favorites?
Oh, sure. I guess the question is, they get him?
But is Anthony Davis the only player that's a top five type player?
Yeah, I mean, they could get Durant, but I think Durant to the Knicks is a done deal.
Klay Thompson?
Yeah, Klay would be a great fit too. But yeah, you're absolutely right on that. It's just is there a case of the teams not wanting to deal with the Lakers too? Because it certainly seemed that way with the Anthony Davis situation so far.
Though, if you look now with that GM being fired,
right,
it seems like there is some pettiness there. Colin Cowherd made a great point. If the person you're competing with has nothing to lose, I call it the ugly guy in the bar fight. The ugliest guy in the bar ain't afraid of a fight. It doesn't make much difference to him,
yeah,
if he gets another big scar. But if you're Brad Pitt, you don't want to get in a fight in a bar. So to me, the Pelicans are the ugly guy in the bar. They just were spiteful, but how in the heck did it help their team not to take that trade?
It doesn't, but RJ, I'll tell you, I will not fight in a bar, and that's why.
So well, because of your beautiful profile.
Very delicate features, RJ.
I mean, it's kind of Caesar-esque. I could see your face imprinted on a coin.
You know what? We should make that happen. I think we need to work on that. RJ Bell, pregame.com, at RJ in Vegas. You can find him up on Twitter.
Adam would make a great dictator.
Okay.
I'm just saying, if you had your own currency, it would work.
I wouldn't.
If you ask his ex-girlfriend, that's exactly what they said.
Exactly. You uncovered something last week on your Twitter as well. Are you making the case that Bill Belichick, as a volunteer assistant, shut down Walter Payton in his first NFL game?
Now, I was saying it with a little wink-wink, right?
I know
reading the new Belichick book. I guess it's been out for about 9 months or so. It is about 600 pages. I mean, they're not messing around. So his first job was with the Colts, you know, volunteer assistant. I think it was 75. It was Peyton's first year, and he was held to, I think it was 8 carries for 0 yards. So I tweeted out, I said, oh, by the way, Belichick, volunteer assistant, coincidence, question mark. So having some fun with it for sure, but boy, oh boy, I mean, I know the Super Bowl was a little, you know, a couple weeks past now, but it just really goes to show you, and I think there's such a theory with these coaches, right? So the question is, if Cofield loves the boy genius, right, that McVay, and then you get the idea of Stevens. If you would have made a list of coaches, you know, Stevens is probably for in the NBA somewhere at the top of most people's list.
Yeah.
But I actually think there's four stratas of these coaches. And it's not even like A, B, C, D, like one's better than the other. You've got the all-time greats, the Belichicks, the Popoviches. You can maybe, you know, obviously Phil Jackson when he was coaching, maybe Andy Reid. But it's a small group, the Hall of Fame. They're going to handle about anything, right? But otherwise, what you have are three types that I think that, based on the team you have, you'd rather have. One is Brad Stevens or McVay, which is the young genius, the young brilliant guy, X's and O's, but he's yet to really have the gravitas to dictate to a superstar. And what we're seeing now is, with the Rams, no real superstars on that team yet, so they've been fine. And Donald, you could say, yeah, but he's a defensive player, so okay.
Yeah.
All right, but when you look at Stevens, now this Kyrie Irving situation, if we didn't think that Stevens was a quote-unquote great coach, all of a sudden, wouldn't we be blaming the Celtics that Irving's probably less than 50% now to stay on the Celtics? And that it's the coach's fault. So you've got these unproven X's and O's guys that can't necessarily control superstars. Then you've got the guys like a Rick Carlisle type, this kind of a, you know, hardcore case, but they end up peeing a lot of people off. So yeah, if you're bought in, you're fine. But otherwise, a lot of people don't like him because they play too hard. Thibodeau maybe was in that category. And then, finally, you got Luke Walton. You've got the new Packers coach. These guys that feel like they're in above their head a little bit, but if you have a superstar on the team, it's good because now the superstar feels like they're in control and they're not butting heads. So, finally, my point is Luke Walton looks like maybe not the right fit for the Lakers, and the new Packers coach maybe not the right fit. But I think with Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't want an authority figure. LeBron doesn't want an authority figure, and maybe these coaches that don't need to be an authority figure because they're so inexperienced might be the right coaches for these superstars.
Great points. RJ, we're going to get you out of here. Got about 30 seconds, but what's more troubling to you on social media about your Steelers? Is it Juju's photo shoot for Valentine's Day with the, I don't know what he was trying to pull off, or is it the fact that Antonio Brown is now liking tweets about Roethlisberger being a rapist?
Well, I heard that's what they're saying about Big Ben being the issue. I'll tell you this, Juju's going to be on the team next year, Brown isn't, so as a Steelers fan, I'm a Juju guy now.
There you go. RJ Bell, at RJ in Vegas. Find him up on Twitter. Pregame.com is the site. Always great stuff up there. RJ, man, we'll talk to you.
Thank you.
There you go. RJ Bell. Check him out on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas. We will come back. It is Big Five time.
You're 90 seconds away from more Cofield and Company right here on ESPN Las Vegas.